Sharista.
Yes, I welcome everybody to the premiere of Clockers by Holly Grimazio and Brendan Atkins. Apologies to Raphael Maroux. It's, what, June 8th, 2007? Is that right?
Yes, probably.
Okay. You all have your scripts? I'd like to go around the room once and identify ourselves. This is going on the internet, so use any name you like. I'm Brendan Atkins.
I'm Katrina
McCall. I'm Holly
Grimazio. I'm Robert
Baker. I'm Kevin Davis.
I'm Joshua Hadley.
And I'm Amanda Dale.
Alright. Amanda, would you like to start us off?
Pittsburgh, 1863. A group of mounted policemen call a shackled young boy, young Daedalus, onto a horse.
Stop! What are you doing? Where are you taking my son?
I'm Officer Richard Gibb of the Manchester Constabulary. Are you the rainbow for your Milgate Lane?
Yes!
Your son Daedalus is under arrest for...
Oh, criminal mischief and destruction of property. The defendant possesses a malicious cunning which he has used to wreak havoc on the industry of his elders and betters. His self-replicating automata, engraved with his signature alias Arctic Pole, dealt brutally with the delicate workings of 150 machines in the cotton mills which are the pride of our city, stripping them for parts and building more of themselves. We estimate that he has cost the owners a full month's profit.
Daedalus Murphy, I hereby fine you £1,000 sterling. Should you be unable to summon sufficient funds, you or your surrogate will be sentenced to debtor's prison until such time as he has repaid it in full. In addition, you are prohibited from owning or operating a wrench, gear train, pocket watch or clock of any kind, so long as you reside within this country.
7 years later. Dead, now a teenager, and Mrs. Murphy ride alone in a carriage on the outskirts of London.
You should be resting, my dear.
I'm watching the silhouette against the sky.
Oh, yes, I suppose the buildings look quite imposing from... Sorry.
Dead silently watches as the skyline transforms to an outline of springs, cogs and levers. A series of rotary characters click and whir into the legend, Clockers. Cut to that night. Dead alone in his small bedroom, pulling on thick working gloves and a pair of black rubber goggles. A knock at the door.
Dead? What are you doing?
I'm getting ready to break into the local public recorded music amplifier.
Very funny. Do finish up and get some sleep. You're due at university first thing tomorrow.
Dead pulls on a thick black coat and slips out the window. And uses a long-handled wrench to open a manhole and drop down into it.
Now, let's see if these flash roulettes are worth the bother.
He puts on a pair of roller skates and heads off down the tunnel, stopping at a slowly rotating tower of linkages and gears illuminated by gas lamps. Echoing down from above is a tinny music box version of Haydn's Le Soir.
Looks like the control line is a double joint on the rocker. So, jam the spindle here, grease up the spool and lock the repeating chain. Hey presto!
Music comes to a grinding halt and resumes. This time, it's a lively, raucous recording of Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody No. 1.
Flash!
The music halts again, replaced by a rhythmic clanking on the copper pipes around the tunnel.
Is that telegraph code? You have tread upon my domain and now must suffer. Stop. Who are you? Stop. Well, I'll just tap back and say that I'm Arctic. No, wait. Catastrophe overclock. Stop. Who wants to know? Stop. Vitriol soot.
Leave before you are expunged, sir.
After you, sir.
Dade leaps up to a higher platform and cranks another gear. The music switches back.
You gulpy mesa, I'll snap you like a toothpick!
Mess with the best, die like the rest.
The music switches back and forth repeatedly as Dade gives chase. Finally, as they reach the interior top of the tower...
Gotcha now!
Sorry, little man. Terminus
est. Gas lamps are all suddenly extinguished. Dade is alone in the dark.
Oh, doesn't that just take the Huntley?
Staff kitchen of the Liberty House, where the Murphys are living. Mrs. Murphy is chopping onions. day, Dexter, sleepily.
Good morrow. And have you unpacked your bag, your belongings yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Day, you were up all night again, weren't you?
Can this wait until both my eyes are open, please?
Shall I get rid of the cat so the mice can live long enough to eat the candles? Maybe then you sleep proper godly hours. You've been playing with your wrench all night for an entire week. You haven't been doing anything foolhardy, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm not going blind either.
Daedalus Murphy, you've been making those honourable monkeys again, haven't you? Daedalus, the London courts aren't as forgiving as Didsbury, young man. If you make the same mistake again, it'll be the Tower for you. Look, I'm sorry we had to move, but there just isn't as much work in the country these days, you know that. You're going to love London. The city now doth like a garment wear the beauty of the morning, silent, bare, dayed. Now hurry up and get ready. You don't want to be late for your first day at a new university.
Cut to University College London. It's an office or something.
Excuse me?
Yo, get Winry. I'm flying the Blue Pigeon.
I'm sorry, I was just looking for the bursar's office.
Sorry, I can't help you, all right?
You, do you have your enrolment, Chit?
Dave stares at her. This is because he thinks she's very pretty.
It's a relatively straightforward question. Do you speak English?
Sorry, you wanted?
Your enrolment, Chit.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Thank you. Are you coming, then? I have to show you to the tutorial room.
Right, yes, sorry. How did you recognise me?
With a hat like that, coming from Didsbury is the only excuse. That's not a very satisfying one. The halls of residence are through there, and that's the gymnasium.
Lovely. Polar. What's your name?
Miss Liberty. Miss Catherine Liberty. And this is your tutor's room.
My tutor's room? You mean I'm not in your tutorial?
Good Lord, Mr. Murphy, most certainly not.
Co walking past notices Dade.
Hello there, are you new?
Yes.
Tell me about the baths, Catherine.
Baths?
Yes, of course. There are swimming baths up on the roof. Take the stairs over there.
Oh, wonderful. Won't you show me?
Not I, I'm afraid. My mother forbids it. She finds the baths indelicate. Ankles as far as the eye can see. Do go ahead, though.
Thank you for your help, Miss Liberty. What's that? Seems to be a ladder at the top.
Yes. Just through the trap door at the top to the baths, Mr. Murphy.
Dade climbs up the ladder, through the trap door, and onto the roof. It falls shut behind him. There are no baths.
No swimming baths, I see.
He tries to open the trap door, and then bangs on it.
Miss Liberty! Miss Liberty! I demand you open this trap door. Hello? Hello, somebody? Look, it's starting to rain. Let me back down immediately, Miss Liberty.
Gracious, Mr. Murphy, you are wet. In London, it's considered fashionable to change into a bathing costume before commencing your swim, you know.
Inside the university clockwork's laboratory, the lecturer is droning on, whilst Dade is working on a little robot. The kid from earlier is watching him.
Consequently, the design of the time train for clock movements, as opposed to the power train, requires a consideration of three related factors. These comprise, 1, the number of teeth in the escape wheel, 2, the pendulum of suitable length, and 3, the reduction ration between its rod and that of the minute hand. Now, how often must the ladder rotate, can anyone tell me? Yes, very good, once per hour. Now, considering the reduction ratio between the escape wheel rod and that of the minute hand...
Yo, that is one downy automaton. What's his action?
Shh!
Oh, come on, you can tell me. I can help you too. I saw you talking to Miss Liberty before. I can introduce you. Are your tensions honourable?
Is homicide honourable?
Come on, what's the waiting for?
Dave releases it. It scurries away.
Trust me, I'm the phenomenon.
So a shaft of the sliding pinion can be extended to carry a pinion meshing, according to the sense in which the control stem is operated, either with the wheel belonging to its correcting gear train or one of the supplementary indicators, or with the pinion belonging to a correcting gear train of another supplementary indicator. We'll be covering this in more detail next week. So make sure to bring your supplementary indicators with you, Mr. Carraway, since we won't be able to rely on the university to provide enough for everyone. Thank you and good afternoon.
Dade leaves and starts walking along a corridor. The phenomenon follows him.
The Fountain Phenomenon? The King of Pinions? I know you play the game.
Another kid, younger and female, runs up to Dade and the Phenomenon.
Phenomenon! I got it!
Josie!
What?
One more dude out of you and I may have to slap your canister all the way out to the colonies. Alright? Now, I'm trying to save you from yourself, but you've got to stop dressing out of the dolly shop, hey bag. Look at this.
I need a flesh pair name, man. No flesh pair name, no identity.
You know, you're right about that. This one.
Okay. How about I call myself the Mistress of Distress?
You're hopeless, hey bag. Utterly hopeless. See you Friday, Mr. Murphy.
Phenomenon walks away.
The mechanical animal! Cosmorama!
Dev rides into Synesthesia, which has a ramp entrance. There's a mechanical string quartet. There is also some sort of billiardy mechanical game, which Kate is playing.
That's nicely done for a young lady such as yourself, Miss Liberty.
Do you think you could do better?
I'll try not to shame yourself.
Oh, Kate hands the cue to Dade and begins playing. Kate's boyfriend, Curtis, watches from a mezzanine several feet above.
Is this ruffian pestering you, Miss Liberty?
May I have a little more space?
I'm sure you can. Miss Liberty, will you give me the honor of the stance?
Of course, my lord. One moment.
She stays to watch Dade.
Gareth is now. Scandal plays well.
Nothing, sir.
He has just beaten Kate's score.
Come, my lord, let us dance.
Congratulations, Mr. Murphy. Nobody's ever beaten her before. You may have made yourself an enemy for life.
He's indeed.
That's Lord Curtis.
What does he do?
That's him in his entirety. He just says, gad, and looks dashing all day.
Alright, enough of this. I'm going home. I've got work to do.
Ooh, what work?
We'll see you next week.
Next week, back at University College London. It's 9:30. Dade is standing in a corridor with an umbrella. Phenomenon sees him.
Hey, Catcove. Did you get work done?
I'll see you in a minute.
Alright, what's going on?
There's a scritching noise as half a dozen crab-shaped automata with large bellies begin running upside down along the ceiling. I think maybe this scene should be cut. Anyway, phenomenon answer.
Oh, that was a nipping. What are they for?
Dade opens his umbrella as water starts spraying out of the bellies of the crabs.
Oh, that is some fine wiring. It's just so cool, it's hyperborean. It's just snowing.
No, it's raining.
More people run by, getting wet. Kate walks up to him.
Mr. Murphy?
Miss Liberty.
And just what, pray tell, is going on?
The swimming baths must be leaking.
You know, a gentleman never unfurls his umbrella.
Oh, this isn't mine.
Now, it's a tutorial. Dade, Kate, and a couple of other students are writing on individual blackboards.
Miss Liberty, would you care to share the quotation you've chosen with us? It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Jane Austen.
I'm not certain your aunt qualifies as a significant author of the 19th century.
Her last book sold 2,000 copies.
And Miss Murphy?
For I dipped into the future, far as human eye could see, saw the vision of the world and all the wonder that would be, saw the heavens filled with commerce, argosies of magic sails, pilots of the purple twilight dropping down in costly bales. Towards the heavens, filled with shouting, and there rained a ghastly dew, from the nation's erring navvies grappling in the central blue.
Tennyson, very nice.
He's not in this tutorial.
I think you'll find I am.
He's not supposed to be in this tutorial. I demand he be removed immediately. Why, he's a man.
You've noticed.
I'm afraid to tell my list that he can't be a man.
What?
As you point out, Miss Liberty, it would be most inappropriate for young men and women to be schooled together. The administration of the university would never permit it. Once we have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
I demand to see your list.
Certainly, Miss Liberty, next June.
Well, if he isn't a man, then he's dressed most inappropriately, and I demand that he leave, that she leave, until she sees fit to return wearing a dress.
Now, Miss Liberty, you know we're a modern establishment here. As long as a decencies are preserved, our students can dress as they will. Why, you yourself are not wearing a corset.
This is disgraceful.
I must insist that you calm yourself, Miss Liberty. Next student, please.
Sprockets are grey, dilly-dilly. Sprockets are black. When you are king, dilly-dilly, I'll be the snack.
I'm sorry.
I wrote it myself.
What is your name?
Manuel Goldstein, sir.
You, however, are not on my list.
Oh, this isn't apprentice woodwork.
Later, back at Synesthesian.
Oi, Dave, come here. I want you to meet someone. This is Snack the Ripper.
Snack grins spacely at him and puffs on an unidentified pipe.
Seriously?
He knows the life.
Come on, blokes, listen to me. I'm rolling around the tubes and I
snack,
find this...
Snack, did you bring those books?
Yeah, the Absinthe Rainbow. Here's the green one.
He holds a green leather-bound book in his bag.
What is that? Let me see it. What are these?
International conversion tables. Period gear radii from French and Chinese.
What's this? Luscious orange?
Key machining standards.
This?
Gear shift book. So named for the infamous misprint on the title page. Principles of Cog Power.
This?
Dragon Book, Linkage Bible.
And that?
Devil Book, Secret London Tunnel Maps, also known as the ugly red book that's too big for a ship.
Anyway, lads, come on. I find this link up, right? So I'm looking about, pulling switches. I don't know where it leads or what it does. It's like, it's flash. It's just lovely, okay? I spend 4 hours in there, and finally I figure out it's a bank. So this morning, I nick a paper, right? So it's a bank down the street from me. The automaton teller apparatus spits out 40 quid into the middle of the street.
Sorry.
That was me. I did that.
You did this within sight of your crib?
What are you, lushed or glocky? You never clock a moneylender's where the blue bottles can lick it back to you.
Stupid kids. Universally stupid.
You lot always think I should know everything, but you never tell me anything.
Why? What are the 4 most common maintenance passcodes for getting into a clock?
Dry work, secret word, and dolly mop. But not necessarily in that order, yeah?
Don't forget God Save the Queen. High-level maintenance love to use that. It's a whole middle class thing.
Look, you want to be a Lee? You've got to do a righteous clock, none of this accidental rock.
Oh yeah, you want a seriously righteous clock? You score one of those Big Bens, man. You know, super clocks that used to wind trains and spring ships?
Unlikely, Jack. Security's too tight. A big iron?
Maybe. If I were going to clock some heavy metal, I'd work my way in this low-level maintenance through the back door.
Yeah, but oh, lads, we just love to score those Big Bens, baby. Woo!
Oi! Oi, who ate all my asparagus?
Josie?
What? No, I didn't touch your asparagus. I did not touch your asparagus.
Snack, you owe me a pot.
It was her, man.
You're cooked. You need to give out that filth.
I'm gonna hit you.
Cut to Josephine, stomping up to a bored guard at the gate behind a massive clock. The Ellingson Counting House Big Ben. She wears large boots, a hood and a gas mask. Hal, standing guard.
Passcode?
God save the Queen!
Hal opens the door. Josephine enters. Turns a corner and dashes into the small dorm at the base of the clock.
Cool. It's bloody huge! You could do anything with these parts and they'd never notice the difference. All right, Lucy, let's you and me find something to show these boys we were here.
She begins to yank pieces out of the works, assembling boxy automata, which she sends rolling out into the dimly lit recesses of the clock. Back outside, Hal is shouting into a speaking tube.
Hello, Mistress Belmont?
My name is The Plague.
Mistress The Plague, there's a problem down here. I lost a maintenance man into the passcode, and it sounds like the Big Ben's working really hard now. I think we have ourselves a clocker.
What's this? Good girl, what have you got? Right out of the rubbish, looks like some sort of plans. Right, it's got the Ellingson watermark on it, that's good enough. Go fetch the rest, go!
The Plague, on a wheeled sled, rolls into the guardhouse in quickness.
Never fear, I is here.
I've narrowed the sounds of activity to the shaft 23.
Let's echo 23, see what he's on about.
Rubbish.
Your maintenance man is a girl, you mouth breather. Send out the security automaton and bring her in.
What's that sound? Clanking? Hello, is someone else in here? It's getting louder. Shit, I've been caught out. Sorry, Lucy, it's time for me to scamper off.
Clanking automaton follows her down into a sewer tunnel and out of a grate. Josephine runs up steps from the riverbank and disappears into the maze-like tenements near her home. The automaton, slowing down as its spring runs out, extends an accordion-style camera and takes a slow picture of the nearest house. Back at the guardhouse.
Did it trace the route? And did it mean a graph? Good.
today in Phantom, letting up to the servant's entrance of Laird Nixon's mouse.
Is Blake your friend?
He's our patron, Paul Laird Nikon.
He's actually a lad.
Let's just say some automata are better at getting into the house with records than others.
Oh. Hey, speak of, do you know a clocker called Vitriol Surt? Know who he is?
No. Don't know who he is. Still a nice place here, huh?
What's it called?
Clockstock.
Nikon! Laird Nikon, this is a...
Catastrophe O'Clock.
Near hoodie. Done anything?
No.
Nikon slams the door.
Hey!
Och, did your mummy buy the wee Ben a wrench for his Michaelmas? Does he ken the life?
Sure, Gov, he's a leet.
Very well. Come on in, then.
Nikon, can I crib you tonight?
Again? Oh, sure.
On guard!
Oh, but your duke's a bastard!
Hey, you read this in the paper? Major Richard Gill of Her Majesty's Guard spoke to your correspondent just after a triumphant arrest this morning. He'd been tasked with rooting out the insidious menace known as Clocking, and rendering all its perpetrators under the fullest measure of the law.
Clocking nemesis first class. You're a Nebuchadnezzar, Gill.
Clockers penetrate and ravage delicate public and private works, filthying them with unauthorized automata, stripping them of their valuable materials. They're mongrels and deserve no better than mongrels.
Leave off. It's time for the chill show.
He jams a gramophone horn into a speaking tube in the wall, amplifying it. Snack rolls back one sleeve, revealing an arm covered in enormous wristwatches.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Clock the planet!
Clock the planet!
For those late night operations, try Mrs. Havisham's injectable refreshment. The cocaine dissolution of the elite clocker.
That's just one person speaking with a funny voice sometimes.
Och, that's reason bleed, man.
You've all heard of how the new underground trains will revolutionise commuting within the city for those who can afford it. But the fare is solid sixpence, a bit rich for my taste. That's why we have managed to obtain for ourselves a lady's stocking. Yes, a stocking belonging to one of us. But we're not telling you which! Should you wish to gain entrance, simply drop your coin into the toe and insert it into the ticketing automaton. Once the ticket is dispensed, pull sharpish on the other end and retrieve the toad's tanner! Remember, clocking isn't just a crime, it's a survival skill.
Cut to Josephine, sweating out an interrogation in a prison cell.
You know you left something behind. In the eyes of Big Ben, something that could be very dangerous.
But our security men don't have time to search the whole thing. And they wouldn't know what to look for if they did.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We know you must have plans for your little automaton somewhere. Tell us where they are and we'll reconsider your sentencing.
Gov, I swear on my mother's grave I didn't leave nothing. I never been near the place.
We'll see what you say about that after a few nights in here.
He and Plague leave, slamming the door behind them.
Are you sure she's the right one?
We asked every petty thief in that dump who the bright girl with the wrench was. They led us straight to her.
Let's listen to the cylinder again.
Plague drops a needle onto a wax recording and cranks the handle.
Unless the 5,000 Swiss francs are transferred by courier to a location I will specify in the 7 days, yelling and counting house Big Ben will be turned to my purposes and inflict all manner of horrors upon your city. Your humble servant, Leonardo da Vinci.
She could have had anyone say it. It's the clowns that matter.
But we plundered that tenement and found nothing like what you described.
She's either very cunning, or she worked with an accomplice.
We'll give her a couple of days to think it over, then let her go. She may be distracted.
Cut to Snap and Phantom walking by the Liberty household to drop Dade on.
Hey, Phantom, can I creep your place tonight?
It's with this bloke.
It's better as a Galgoose merchant, he's trying to balance the equation. Do you hear about Josie?
Probably has something to do with that bank automaton.
Do you think she could clock a Big Ben?
Talk to her.
Nah, they let her out this afternoon. I'm meeting her at the park tomorrow. Hey, what about the soiree tonight?
What?
The exclusive entertainment provided by Miss Catherine Liberty. You know, here, where you live, and can let us in the back.
Time for you, please.
Are you saying you won't be there watching? Thought so.
Little Nancy, little Judy. Little Nancy, little Judy.
Dade, smiling, walks upstairs to his room. As soon as he enters, he's grabbed and thrown on his bed by Gil.
Ah, shit!
Sounds like you and I have a history, young man.
140 cotton millers. A name like Arctic Pole tends to lodge in the mind of the arresting officer.
150?
So my friends back in Didbury let me know when a known plucker comes to town. You know what they say, as thick as a thief.
An automaton has been planted in the Ellingson Big Ben. You were our prime suspect until we tossed your things and found no trace of the plans it would require.
However, a youngest Josephine Pardelli may be involved. Do you recognise that name? She or someone she knows may have the plans. We want you to help us find them.
A moment, Officer Gill.
Gill withdraws, glaring at Dade. Clay, alone with him, holds up a small monkey-like automaton.
Can't believe you were only 11 when you built this. It's quite a nice little monkey. Douglas, I know how you might feel about playing turncoat to your mates, but we're clockers. For us, there exists no such concept as family or friends. We are sovereign nations with temporary alliances and with conflicts. I'd like to sign a treaty with you.
Who are you?
I'm the one who understands you. Now, can we be allies?
Sorry, this mongrel doesn't switch paths.
Very well!
She tears the head off the brass monkey machine and stomps it to bits on the floor.
Be cautious in choosing which packs you do run with. A history like yours could get you kicked out of college. No work, no prospects, nothing but the poorhouse and the slums. Exiled from everyone and everything you love.
She opens the door to leave.
We're done, Officer Gill. Hey, I'll be in touch.
Pucker my Nancy.
Thank you.
Later that night, Kate's soiree. Elegantly dressed young ladies and gentlemen twirl through an intricate dance to the music of a string quintet. Dade, in an ill-fitting waistcoat and cravat, quietly opens the French doors to the ballroom. Snack and Phantom enter in finery, but they appear to have scrambled expensive corpses.
Cheers, girl. Isn't that Nikon contract in the quartet? Can he just let you in?
Sure he could, we just wanted to see if you do it.
Wait, so why doesn't he have any sheet music?
Ali's got a memory like a luminograph.
Says it's a curse, but I tell you, I wouldn't mind a perfect recollection of those ankles.
Speak of, it won't feel like a free ride on this underground rail.
You actually believe razor and razor blades tip off?
Bet Kate's got some hosiery we could use to verify.
Three of them sneak into Kate's bedroom, while Snack tries to fiddle open her puzzle box wardrobe. Phantom and Dave are drawn to the complicated brass workings set up on a massive desk.
Has she afford all this gear anyway?
Other married money. Apparently her aunt does all right writing books about the country of houses and prospects, but don't mention that. Rumour has it there's a grocer not too far back in the tree.
That's a teeth. I'll trade a country house for an adjustable span like this.
I want it.
I want to be inside it.
Of course, as Phantom and Dave try not to picture this.
Oi, are those trained glowworms? You're supposed to use them to light up her works from the inside.
That looks flash in the dark.
Snack douses the gas lamps and returns to huddle over the desk with them.
Ooh.
Kate and Curtis Lord Craven stumble in breathlessly and collapse onto the bed, fumbling with the bindings of her dress. Twangings and sproings come from Kate's clothing.
What's that corset? One-handed. Jiggly baby.
Snack lowers the loop from Kate's desk onto one eye. Here's through it.
Seven.
Oh, looks like soot's wetware. Matches are hardware.
Soot!
What in blazes?
What are you lot doing in here?
It's frigid. We're just angling for a cool at your flash kit.
Oi, it's Ream swag you've got in here, Twist.
Ream like a toffer.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
She walks over to join them. Three times for your girls.
I want to add a self-winder to the spring assembly.
Kate, do you might actually be about to discuss this automated rubbish in the middle of our relationship?
Hang about. See, the new needles are quartz tipped.
Very well. Wilkins will deliver a cut note from me for Monday.
Wilkins will deliver a cut note from me and Mummy. Quite a specimen of manhood.
Mr. Murphy, shouldn't you be scrubbing pots somewhere?
Your vitriol, sir. You must be blind and stranded in the PRMA.
I beg your pardon?
Catastrophe overclock. At your service.
should have suspected you were the curse sniffing for scraps at my table.
One must admit, this is a spectacular bit of sniff.
They lock eyes for a long moment, then hiss flops the desk.
It's too much machinery for you.
One-handed, without looking at it, Date starts assembling a simple monkey-like automaton with startling speed.
I don't see that caught so hastily.
Date works and slows to a crawl.
Your soldering iron is practically a Lucifer.
P6 model, hexagonal silica heating core.
It's not just the core, it's got a lead slurry pump, but yeah.
Indeed. Swiss architecture is going to change everything.
Swiss is good.
Dave finishes the monkey, which bangs together a pair of tiny cymbals and hands off into the room.
Are you certain this ream swag isn't going to waste?
Methinks I spy a glove on the floor.
No stakes, madam.
When I win this absurd little dispute, you'll be my boy.
Your boy?
You grossly mistake my meaning, Mr. Murphy. He'll act as a proper servant in this house. Polish my spanners, muck out the stools, clean the mud from my boots.
And if I win?
I'll consent to be shipped off to the colonies.
Make it your consent to be my courtship.
Mr. Murphy, my engagement is already assured. But so is my victory, so I agree.
And when I come calling, you have to smile.
Should we do something appropriately vulgar to seal the bargain?
Dade and Kate spit in their hands and shake. Integral.